Scripture reading this morning will again be from 2 Timothy. Two different passages this morning. 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14, and 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So good to be here and gather with you this morning. I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to that very passage that we just read. Actually, we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture here at the beginning. As you're doing that, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather this morning. Well, we know that saints around the world are gathering, or have gathered, or will gather throughout this day. Father, pray that you are glorified, much is made of your Son and of your gospel today. Father, in these next minutes, glorify yourself through your word. May our hearts and our minds be focused on what you have for us from your word this morning. Father, use your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to your word this morning. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read down through chapter 2, verse 7, so we understand the full scope of Paul's letter to Timothy. He says this in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears. I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. For I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ, of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So Paul here in his second letter to Timothy is encouraging, counseling, and instructing his son in the faith in a very personal and intentional manner. And our main text this morning that we have already read, in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1, and the first two verses of chapter 2, Paul's main challenge to Timothy, an instruction to Timothy, is to follow the entirety of scriptural truth, especially the gospel, to guard that truth, and then to pass it on to those who can then pass it on to others. So in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1, we read, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So what is Paul talking to Timothy about? He's instructing Timothy, giving him some specific instructions and encouragement. He says two things. He says, number one, he says, follow the pattern of sound words. And then number two, he says, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. So what is Paul asking of Timothy? Well, that term to follow simply means really kind of our daily actions, kind of what we do daily, our words, our decisions, kind of where we carry ourselves day to day, just kind of the process of living these day-to-day activities. So that's kind of the meaning behind that term follow. He says, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me. So then next question we need to ask is, okay, what is this pattern of sound words? What is Timothy telling, or what is Paul telling Timothy to do? He says, follow this pattern of sound words. Well, what are these sound words? And really, that it's kind of it's an outline. That term pattern carries with it the idea of an outline or the structure of Paul's teaching that Timothy had been exposed to. And then sound words literally means healthy words or healthy teaching. That's the meaning behind that. And so Paul's referring in a larger sense to the entirety of apostolic teaching that has taken place, but specifically to the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speaking of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection as the only hope for sinful mankind. So he says, follow this pattern of sound words. The entirety, this larger scope of apostolic teaching, but it also says specifically regarding the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And note that Paul says that Timothy was to accomplish this in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So the idea is that Paul is resting in Christ to accomplish this rather than his own strength. It's not as though Paul is telling Timothy, follow this teaching and I hope you do okay. He says, no, it's done in the power of Jesus Christ. In a minute, talks about the Holy Spirit's engagement in all of it as well. So Paul very specifically is telling Timothy, follow the pattern of sound words, live them out in your daily life, and follow the scriptures and specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then secondly, he says in verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit or the thing or the treasure that has been entrusted to you. So Paul prefaces this second instruction to Timothy with those words, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So twice now he says, do this through the faith and grace that is in Christ Jesus, and do this through the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit, eliminating all of our human effort. There is those things we need to engage in, but we know any success in following the truths of Scripture comes through God's word, the power, the empowering strength of Christ and his grace and the Holy Spirit. So Paul reminds us of that. Our ability to follow Scripture at all, as well as to guard that Scripture, is based on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Paul tells Timothy, guard the good deposit. This term deposit can be looked at as treasure or this thing. So we're going to talk about that more in a minute, that has been entrusted to you. So this term to guard means literally what it sounds like, to guard something, to protect something, to physically guard an object of value, or to keep in the sense of observing or following. So we see this picture of guarding protection, but also in the sense of to keep or to follow, to observe some sort of truth. So it indicates a careful and constant guarding of someone or something of importance. And this term is often used to when referring to protecting a palace or a fortress from intruders or protecting possessions from thieves. So it's a pretty clear picture of what Paul is instructing Timothy to do. He says, guard the good deposit. It says, protect it. Ward off any danger that could be there. So he says, guard the good deposit, the beautiful deposit, the desirable thing. So now we need to think, okay, what is this thing that Timothy is to guard with such care? Paul here is referring specifically to the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as the totality of apostolic teaching. He says, guard it, protect it, be careful with it. This would include the entirety of Scripture for us today. So Timothy, one of these instructions from Paul is to guard and keep a constant, watchful eye on the deposit, Scripture, that was these teachings that were entrusted to him. He's to guard with constant care the integrity and value of the gospel and the teachings of Scripture. So Paul says, here are these teachings. Here's the truth of Scripture. Here's the truth of the gospel. Guard it, protect it. And there's more instruction coming. But he says at this point, protect it. Keep its integrity what it is. Don't change it. Don't modify it. Don't tweak it in any way, to use our modern terms. Protect its value and integrity. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, with Scripture. Here's the Scriptures. Here's the teaching based on Scriptures. Here's the truth of the gospel. Guard it, protect it, keep its value with what it is. You know, you think of, for instance, the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican Museums in Rome. Has anybody been there? Anybody seen? Okay, some of you have, okay? I mean, you can't describe it to people. Pictures don't do it justice. And so, in the value of the Sistine, just that portion of the Vatican Museum, just the Sistine Chapel that is there, that work of Michelangelo. And you look up, what's the value of that? It's really, you can't put a price on it. It's really a priceless value. Some have said $450 billion, up to $2.2 trillion would be the value if we were to sell the Sistine Chapel to someone. Not that the Vatican's going to sell the Sistine Chapel, but that would be some sort of value that's placed on it. And so, has anyone ever thought that, boy, it would be a good idea to improve Michelangelo's work? you know, he really didn't, I would have done something different in this part of the ceiling. We would never think to do that. Maybe add a few things. Maybe it needs to be updated. Maybe, you know, let's do whatever. We had the privilege of visiting one time, and they were in the process of restoring it. I forget what year it was. And so there's actually a portion of it we couldn't see, but you could see some of it, and they were just basically cleaning it. They weren't doing any painting. They weren't doing any touch-up work. It was just cleaning off just years and decades of just kind of dirty Roman air. And they said even in that process, as they were doing that, they found, I can't imagine, they found little parts of the paintbrush from Michelangelo, kind of, you know, little bristles come off the paintbrush, and they found those in the painting. And so they left them there. And just that, you know, so no one had the thought of, you know, we need to improve Michelangelo's work. We need to do better with what Michelangelo did. So, you know, just as we would never think to deface or seek to improve on that masterpiece. And why? Because of its value and its importance. It's so valuable. And you look at the Sistine Chapel, it's heavily guarded and cared for with the utmost diligence. Why? Because of its value. And there's a monetary value to it, but there's a cultural value, there's an artistic value to it. So it's guarded, it's protected to maintain that value. And so in our passage this morning, that same idea Paul is communicating to Timothy when he says, you are to follow, preserve, and protect the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teachings of God's word. That's that same idea. Paul says, protect it, guard it, preserve the value of God's word that has been entrusted to you. So the application is really pretty clear. I mean, the application, obviously Paul is talking to Timothy, another pastor who's leading, but the application for us, it applies to us as well. Are we protecting and preserving the integrity and the purity of the gospel in our personal lives and as a covenanted body of believers? Are we doing that? Or are we devaluing the work, the word of God and the gospels? So he says in verse 13 of chapter 1, he says, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And then he has these verses kind of in between, right at the end of chapter 1 and before verse 2, or before chapter 2, and it kind of seems like a parenthesis in some ways. You know, he says, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, and then he jumps back into, in chapter 2, he says, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many, you know, you then, my child. He's right back into it, but then right at the end of chapter 1, there's these verses where he just kind of talks about different people. He says, you are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. You know, if your name is mentioned specifically in Scripture, that's either a really good thing or a really bad thing. Because, you know, here's a great example. For these two, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. So they've turned away from me. I think what Paul is doing here is kind of giving examples, kind of illustrating of those who have not kept the word of God, have not followed this teaching that Paul passed down. He says they've turned away, and he specifically mentions these two who didn't guard the deposit, this treasure of the word of God. Then he mentions Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chains. When he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know of all the service that he rendered at Ephesus. So seemingly Onesiphorus was following this teaching. Kind of this little parentheses that Paul drops in to kind of illustrate and remind Timothy. So then as we continue on through the text and we jump into chapter 2, Paul gives Timothy really a third instruction that's really kind of a part of some earlier instruction. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul here is expanding on what he just talked about earlier in chapter 1. Here in verse 2 of chapter 2 is a very similar wording. If you look in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me." And you look at verse 2 of chapter 2, "and what you have heard from me." So Paul is just kind of repeating what he just said, but he changes it a little bit. And it says, "by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us." I'm back up in verse 14 of chapter 1. It says, "by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Then in the second part of verse 2 of chapter 2, he says, "entrust to faithful men, which have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We see that repeated word of entrust. So that these truths of Scripture, these teachings of Scripture that were entrusted to Timothy to protect, Timothy is to then take those things and entrust them to faithful men who can teach others also. So there's passing on of the value of Scripture, protecting its integrity, protecting the teaching of Scripture and of the gospel. So Timothy is to follow the teachings of Scripture. He's to guard and protect the gospel, its integrity, and the value of the Word of God. And then, as we see here in verse 2, chapter 2, to entrust that pure gospel and the teaching of God's Word to faithful men who can teach others. Entrust it to those. So now we need to look at the term entrust. What does that mean? To entrust to someone. So these teachings have been entrusted to Timothy. And now Paul instructs him, entrust those teachings to faithful men who can then teach others. So what does entrusting mean? And really what it does, it implies the situation of one who must take a long journey and then who entrusts or deposits his money and other valuables to a friend, completely trusting him to restore it to him upon his return. That was the idea. Leaving all of your value, leaving something of great importance with someone, you entrust them with it to protect its value, protect its integrity until your return. That was the idea. I think for us today, it would be, I don't know, you're gone for 3 months from your home for some reason, and you leave it with someone to, you have a house sitter. They're there. You want to make sure things, maintenance is taken care of, make sure nothing goes wrong, keep things up to date, keep it clean, protect the value of this thing. So that's the idea behind that word entrust. So Paul tells Timothy, "I'm entrusting to you the value and the integrity, the purity of the gospel and all of Scripture. You're to take that same value and entrust that to those who can teach others also." That passing on of the truths and integrity of the gospel and of Scripture. And really, if we look at Luke chapter 23, verse 46, we see the exact same word used by Christ, where he says, and Christ says to God the Father on the cross, he says, "Into your hands I commit," or "I entrust my spirit." That's the same word that's used. A totally giving over, fully giving. Here in Luke, Christ is fully giving of himself to the will of God the Father on the cross. There's total and complete and full trust that is happening. So Timothy was entrusted with the truths of Scripture, the gospel, and he was then to entrust that to faithful men in the church, what had been taught to him by Paul, and what he was to guard here at the end of chapter 1, to guard it and protect it, he's here to carefully teach and entrust to others. So how important was this to Paul? We see a little bit of that further on in chapter 2. We see verse 15 where Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," or literally cutting the word straight, making it, getting it right. Paul instructs Timothy to fervently guard and accurately entrust the gospel and the word of God to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul is very specific in these instructions to Timothy. These aren't just random things that Timothy, you kind of need to go do this. These are very specific instructions. He says, guard it. You've been entrusted with it. Now you take it and you entrust it to other men. And really, in this, these instructions to Timothy, this wasn't simply a package of biblical information or a package of biblical facts that Timothy was to pass on to a larger body. Rather, it was the systematic and intentional teaching of qualified church leaders who would then teach faithful men, and then so on and so on and so on. There's a generational view to this. So the intention is that this is to be a continuing process of guarding the truth of Scripture, accurate training in that truth, and then discipleship through formal teaching, through informal teaching, discipleship for many generations. So the local church, as well as the larger church around the world, is only as strong as its leaders hold to the Word of God and effectively teach those who come after them. Leader to leader to leader, as they pass on these truths of Scripture. So the future of the global church, as well as each local church around the world, depends upon following, guarding, and entrusting the Word of God to faithful men. Now, how do we respond to this? How do we walk away from these instructions from Paul to Timothy? How does this apply to us? Well, we look at that term follow in 13. It says, follow the pattern of sound words you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And you know, we as we're aware of, Paul is specifically talking to Timothy as a church leader. But yet the biblical principle applies to all of us. Some specific things from a local church perspective that we can glean, obviously. But then just from as we sit here this morning, maybe an elder, a deacon, somewhere in church leadership, how are we engaged in this? You know, are we following, or am I following the words of Scripture in my personal life? And then as a corporate body, are we doing that? Am I doing that? There's just some simple application that we can bring to this. He says, am I guarding it? In verse 14, it says, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Am I protecting the value, the integrity of the gospel and the whole of Scriptures by not adding to it or taking away from it or changing it to what I think would work best for me? Then entrust, in verse 2, he says, entrust what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So entrusting that. You know, that looks different for the church leadership. That looks a certain way as they build into other men. But it may be, you know, here's just some discipleship God has given me. Or maybe I'm teaching a Sunday school class and trusting that word faithfully, passing it on. What that looks like in the life of a local church is so important. And so we entrust the truths of God's word. Here we see Paul talking to Timothy at more of a church leadership level, but as we participate in the life of the local church, we're to guard that truth, that same truth. And then we're to protect it, and then we're to entrust it to others. It may be one-on-one relationship, a discipleship, where you're meeting for coffee, and you're just talking about Scripture. Here's a Scripture, here's what it is. Let's dig through this. Understanding the truths of Scripture. That's going to look a little bit different for all of us. So are we passing on the truths of Scripture and the gospel to others in the church in a careful and intentional manner? My prayer is that each of us will be known as those who follow, guard, and entrust to others the truths of Scripture. Then I want to close with the last verses, or the following verses. We stopped in verse 7 of chapter 2. And I love what Paul does here in verse 8. Look at verse 8 of chapter 2. What's he say? Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ through all of this. He says, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am now suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I will endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Through all that, he says, instruct, he says, guard, protect, and trust. But remember Jesus Christ. Remember that. Keep that ever before us. The value of Christ, then the value of Scripture, the value of the gospel as we see that. So, as we walk away this morning, the application is pretty clear, pretty obvious. Am I guarding, am I trusting, entrusting to others the value of Scripture, accurately passing it on? What's my role in that in the life of the local body? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have had this morning to gather around your word. We have sung of the great truths of Scripture this morning. We're reminded how your gospel broke through a dark dungeon of sin. The light broke in because of your grace in our lives. For those truths of Scripture that we sing and that we read and that we learn about, Father, I pray that we individually and then as a corporate body, we would entrust those to others, to our children, to those you bring into our lives in a discipleship, be it informal or be it formal. Father, pray that you would make much of yourself as the truth of your word and your gospel is passed on. Father, thank you for the work of this body of believers. Thank you for their love for your word, their love for the integrity and value of your word, their desire to reach their community, their desire to glorify you, Father, as they gather together. And I pray that you continue to encourage them each and every step of their way. Father, thank you for this time to gather this morning. We ask all this Christ's name.